And it's the same general group of folks that filter through. And the last time Lisa preached, I told her, Lisa, anytime you have a message, you let me know and we'll fit it in. Lisa so much appreciated that people came to me and said, when's Lisa preaching? It was that, or it was maybe just a little too much of me, maybe. I'm not sure. But it is, honest to goodness, it is just a thrill to have her. And it couldn't have worked out better for me. I'm in finals week, and it just was perfect. And other churches have captains of industry, politicians, and sports people. We've got Lisa. And let them all be jealous of what we got. And I mean it. Let them all be jealous of what we have. So, sweetheart, it's all yours. God bless you.
Well, good morning. And one thing I want to just say is God has a sense of humor. Definitely. Okay. I want to thank my church family and my Heavenly Father for this privilege. I pray this message is pleasing to Him, healthy for me, and helpful to another human being. And may we learn and grow in His Word together here this morning. I also would like to thank Pastor Don Beeler. I'm sure he'll be listening to this next week, for the time he took into private tutoring me through the book of Psalms. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O my Lord, my strength and redeemer. My spiritual coach told me a couple years ago, Lisa, you'll be a bond servant for the Lord. And I really didn't pay much mind to that, nor did I understand what that meant. And then years went by, and now I'm a leader in a group called Psalms of the Heart. We recover from alcohol and drug addiction by reading the Psalms and the Word of God. And when we got to Psalm 123, I knew what she meant. I'd like to share what I today about what I have learned. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the Old Testament and how God's never-changing Word still stands true today. Psalm 123 speaks of serving and my experience with our Lord God Almighty. Now, before I start, I took a Hebrew class, so I would like to share one Hebrew word with you this morning. The Hebrew word for giving and receiving is the same word. And the word is natan. Say natan. Okay. I think that the Lord found this was very important to make the giving and receiving the same word, because the giver always receives. And you must give to receive. And if a gift is not received, then it is for nothing. And so I hope you receive this gift today, which is the word of the Lord and the greatest gift of all, which is His Son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 123. We're going to read the psalm. It's a short psalm. It's four verses. To you, I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hands of her mistress, so our eyes look to you, our Lord. The Lord our God, till He has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for there is enough contempt. Our souls have had more than enough scorn of those who are proud, at ease of contempt of the proud. Psalm 123. My title is Pay Attention to the Master, the Heart of a Servant. We're going to start with Focus on God. Servants and masters are Old Testament. They were part of the social system. They were called slaves also. And it's hard for us to relate to that because it's not part of our structure. Their attention was on their master. Servants would line up against the wall while their master sat at the table. And with a hand or an eye gesture or nod of his head, the servants knew what to do and did it. If they turned their back, they could not see his next command. They would see, you could see one elbow, another servant that maybe was stargazing out the window, saying, pay attention to the master. Just as we should nudge others to focus on God. In verse 2, it talks about the watching and the looking for a signal from the master. People of God have their eyes on God, focusing, paying attention, not distracted on other things, watching for a signal, direction, help, a red flare, or a warning from our Lord. If we do not understand servant, we do understand focus, and we continually focus. We are called to focus on God. His desire should be our desires. Your wish is my command. Instead of having give me, we come make me an unquestioning soldier. This is the attitude of a servant's heart. Pay attention to the master. The heart of a servant is what we're talking about here today. He is our master. It's his will. We are his servants. Servant is mentioned 491 times in the Bible. Do you think he is trying to tell us something? Second, our example is Jesus Christ, focused like a servant. Philippians 2, 6, 8, who being in the form of God thought it no robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made like the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became unto death, even death of the cross. In John 8, 29, and he that had sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone, for I always do things that please him. And Matthew 20, 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as ransom for many. Minister, to be an attendant, attend to the needs of, to watch upon, to care for, to help. The same word we use as deacon in our churches. A deacon is not a title or a place, a position. It's a place of service. We are servants for the Lord. Jesus was a deacon of God's people. All of God's ministers thought themselves of servants for the Lord. Hebrews 3:5. And Moses verily was faithful as in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which should be spoken after. Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Jude, 1:1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. 2 Peter, 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. First chapter, first verse proclaims they are servants. What is the attitude of a servant? What do you want me to do? What do you need done? Where would you have me go? What path do you want me to take? Where do you want me to be? What would you have me focus on? Whatever you're doing this season, please do not do it without me. We're going to go a little bit deeper now. James 1:1. James, a bond servant. Thank you. A bond servant of Jesus Christ. Titus 1:1. Paul, a bond servant of God and the apostle of Jesus Christ. The term bond servant comes from the word doulos. Devoted to another in disregard of one's own interest. Bond servant. Let's jump back to the Old Testament. Slaves, servants, only served for a certain time, and then they were free to go. They served their master, and then freedom came. There were slaves that had a good master and said, I've come to love you, and I don't want to leave you. I like to stay on in my own free will. The master makes a covenant. I'll take care of you, all your needs and all your wife and children's needs. I'll provide you a home and food and everything else you need. This is not like a labor management that the world has to give. It's a working relationship toward the same thing, and they were highly trusted. Master trusts his bondservant. They know everything about each other. They highly respected each other. They would put a ring around the ear, and people would know they were bondservants and they were respected everywhere that they went because of the master they served. Abraham had a bondservant. His name was Elijah. He had trusted him enough to pick a wife for his own son. He was very wealthy. Abraham saw to it. But as we go in this psalm, we go to the third verse. The psalmist is asking for mercy in this verse. And in 4, he speaks about contempt of the proud. There's pride and contempt in the world for the servants of God. Today, it's Christianity. The psalmist is burdened back then because of the constant persecution of the people of Israel being treated with scorn and contempt. Because there were servants, there were persecutions, and Jesus said that there will be suffering and persecution for his name's sake. It hasn't changed today. According to missionologists, more Christians were martyred in the 20th century than all previous centuries combined. The United States hasn't changed. There is not a desire to serve God. There is contempt for godliness someplace all over the world. Contempt regarding someone is worthless or inferior, deserves no respect at all, utterly worthless. Psalm 14:1 says, only fools say in their heart there is no God. And the word of God says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. People who have a lot, they think they have life by the barrel, self-made, everything is by luck or chance. They equate us to nuts, fanatics, weak-minded, superstitious. Every generation has had it. But 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. He is a benevolent master, meaning he enjoys helping others, humanitarian, wildly in giving, very kind-hearted, caring and compassionate, loving attitude. And I know this to be true because of my firsthand experience of working with him and serving him. Psalm 9:1, I will praise you, Lord, with my heart, and I will tell all of the marvelous things you have done. In John 15:15, Jesus is speaking. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for my servant does not know what his master is doing, but I called you friends. For the things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. We know we're friends of God and Jesus, but we have the mind and the heart of a servant, the attitude of a servant. Pay attention to the master. The heart of a servant is today's message. Philippians 2:7, but he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. Ministers are under the same work of Jesus as an extension of his ministry. We are all following him, and he wants us to do for his people. Mark 29, Jesus sat down and called his disciples over and said to him, whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. And in Ephesians 6:6, as slaves of Christ, we do the will of God with all your heart. He is our authority. We are our servants. We have nothing better to do but to seek his will. We have no better resource. We can do nothing if we turn away from him. Look at our world. Look at our country. Our hope and expectation is in him. If we ever want to find relief, it must be there. All things are possible through him. Our job is to pray, to live for the Lord, and to represent him in all we do. Romans 12:11-13, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Now let's wrap this up. The word of God says, I tell you the truth. You can't handle the truth. John 16:12. You can't, won't accept and apply the truth in your lives. When you don't believe the truth, you believe the lie. So what is it going to be today? We all do good deeds, but how faithful of a servant are you? The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth. Whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. That's Luke 12:37-38. Will you bring your place to where your life serves the Lord? Do you have a heart for God? When's the last time you said, if ever, what can I do for you, Lord? Does your lifestyle and words confess who you serve? The word of God is not a suggestion. Will you ask, is there a way I can serve you in my workplace, business, or neighborhood? that will let others see you through me and the service to you. If not us, who? If not now, when? We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. That's 2 Peter 2, 9 through 10. America represents a beacon of hope in a dark world full of corruption and death, as to be seen as we faithfully and wholeheartedly serve our Lord. Can and will we step up to the plate and do what we have been asked, called, told to do? Or will we be led by ignorance, pride, and fear? Too proud to pray and serve to the Lord who created us. God said, "But when you have eaten and were satisfied, you became proud and forgot me." He also said, "There's pride before fall." So if God called you for service, would you say, "Yes, I'm available, Lord, use me." Isaiah 6:8. Many are called, few are chosen. Few say yes. We've all been called. We're all a slave to something. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters, him and the things of this world. You will become a slave to whatever you choose to obey. Where is your focus? What master do you serve? If we pay attention to the master, focus on God, with the heart of a servant, we can master it. In closing, I don't think there's anything more powerful than sharing how God's never-changing word can withstand the test of time. We looked at servants and slaves 5,000 years ago, then the apostles, and now 2,000 years later, I stand in awe of the reality of this in my life. If it was good for those generations, it was good for those generations, and it still holds true today in 2015. Again, my name is Lisa Mazarese. I was a hairdresser of 30 years and a salon owner. I had a severe addiction to drugs and alcohol. I'm a multiple DUI offender, addicted to the lie, a slave to sin. My crime, sin, sent me to prison. I found Jesus Christ in a prison cell. I was placed upon request in a section of the prison they called the Hope Pod. I became a servant leader. I served God by helping other inmates, leading small groups and speaking devotions. The door opened and I also was free to go. But I too have come to love my master. I did not want to leave my position of service in him, and I never returned to my salon. Psalm 13:5, I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I thank God it is no longer alcohol that quenches my thirst. I have been a bond servant for the Most High King for 5 years. He has taken care of all of my needs in miraculous ways. I want to proclaim his word holds true. I want to, and thank you for allowing me to share some of my story with you this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, let your truth penetrate our hearts today and cause us to answer with action, not be inspired, but have the heart of a servant and enlist ourselves in the service of your kingdom, that we may raise your banner of truth in this nation and become the light of the world again, in Jesus' name, I pray. Maranatha, that means Godspeed.